name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here.
These truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott McKay. It is December the 7th, 2020. This is going to be an interesting episode of The Tipping Point here on Revolution Radio. We got a few guests for you tonight. A lot of things, of course, are happening in the battle for the White House U.S. presidency, which inadvertently is the battle for Earth. And we had a lot of things happen in the past week, and I shared some of that with a number of you this past week, what we would be doing last week coming up, and we talked last week. So we'll go down that list in a minute here, but I want to tell you folks something about Revolution Radio. A lot of folks have been saying, my God, Scott, where have you been? You know, we found this battle axe. It has taken the battle to the deep state criminal power structure, calling them every name that definitely indirectly applies to exactly what they are, the criminal politicians, the parasites and the leeches in Washington, D.C. Now you're starting to see in the state legislatures, works its way down to local governments, right down into the election officials. We have seen this now front and center permeate, or at least expose itself as permeating all of society on all levels. That's why this battle that Donald Trump and the alliance powers in the military have going up against this unbelievably evil and satanic Luciferian order that controls this country and every country on the planet. So that being said, Revolution Radio is that radio network that gave me a voice for one reason, is because they do not allow censoring. No idea gets shut off here like we had happen on YouTube in the last week. And I said I'll take responsibility for YouTube pulling down one of my videos that I embedded a video they do not like that was created by somebody else, even though it's still up there. And the other person's had it up there, has tens of thousands of views on it. They weren't pulled down, but I was. I gave them a reason to take me down for 7 days. I was in YouTube jail. So we come out of that on Saturday and uploaded a number of videos that we created from the past week. Our interview with Dr. Charlie Ward, which is fantastic. And then we had an interview with Mike Adams over at Brighteon. Very smart guy. We got those videos out. They're now up on the YouTube channel. I didn't put last week's up yet. I believe I have that on Rumble and BitChute, but I'll include in this video we create for this program tonight into the description below. So if you're watching this, look down below. You'll see a comment. I'll make it to top. Here's where we are parked if they kick us off YouTube. Now, folks, I'm going to encourage you. I think it's very important that you do this. If you see these links here, of course, whenever you're listening to the video form of this, you want to connect with me, subscribe on these other platforms, Brighteon, BitChute, and Rumble, because if the inevitable, I shouldn't even say inevitable. I'm not going to put that out in the universe. I don't know if they'll take me down or not. They did hit me with that strike one that took me offline. I got a warning when they took down three of my videos, the one that went nuclear in about 13 days. They took that down. They took one that was, who is Scott McKay? I retitled it and put it up elsewhere. It was more apropos for folks who wonder, who is this guy? Because we were going to build the Global Unity Bridge and we were looking to fuel that thing. So it was appropriate from that standpoint. They took that down. I thought, wow, I mean, that's just some guy here licking himself, telling people about who he is. Why would they take that down? Anyways, that being said, they did. The warning for taking three down, and then I put up the one that I'll take responsibility for because I knew it was taboo to them. People keep asking me for it. I keep sending them to another channel. So I went and embedded it in our intro and put it out there, and boom, we went down. So I want you folks to prepare just in case, because if I disappear there, then you will know where you're going to be able to find these Revolution Radio, the Tipping Point videos that go up, any live streams that I do. You will know how to reach me because we have to keep this message moving forward. Everybody, and I mean everybody in this country, has a stake in this fight because this isn't kinetic warfare yet. This is digital warfare. Revolution Radio is my digital warfare. This is an information warfare platform that gave me the voice to learn about what's truly going on in America because we went to live stream YouTube. And I learned everything that I've learned. That did not happen without Revolution Radio. So because it is privately funded, it is the determining factor of whether these shows actually carry weight, stay in action on the air is because of you, because of your donations to Revolution Radio. A lot of great hosts here. You'll see at the top, there's a donate button. There's also a patron button, orange button at the top and the bottom. You can create a Patreon account. You can donate that way if you choose. And I can tell you on behalf of everybody that is on this platform, we appreciate it because it gives us global reach around the world. Anyways, we have a couple things I'll throw out here very quickly as far as our brand here, the Tipping Point, or on YouTube, it's the Tipping Point Radio. We have to put that up there because there is other Tipping Points. Didn't know that when I created this show. And that's how you find us there. But to get to me, folks, and the way you can follow me, everything social media, that is at patriotsriseup.com. Yeah, write that. It's always in the video that I create from this show, patriotsriseup.com. You can connect with me there on several functions. You can catch me there. You can catch my Twitter account there at the bottom. You can scroll. When you hit that, by the way, somebody told me they didn't know you could scroll down through that mobile connect. It's kind of like a web page. So go to the bottom, you'll see the Twitter icon, you will see Facebook icon, you will see the YouTube icon. Makes it really easy. I'm going to put two or three links on there for Brighteon, for Rumble, BitChute. Again, so you can go to one place to find me, patriotsriseup.com. There's also a link there for patriotsstreetfighter.com. That seems to be what I've now been branded since you people shot me into the air and put a bullseye on my back with social media sensors at YouTube. Thank you for that. Anyway, so I guess because of our rhetoric here or this platform allowing me to bring the truth as hard and as fast as I can, the way I want, as you've learned, if you haven't learned, you're brand new here on live radio, this show is a high octane, hard hitting truth hammer. We give no quarter at all to any scumbag politician, any criminal central banker, any big tech censoring CEO, the religious order, the Vatican specifically, the Luciferian world, pedophiles, child traffickers, and the worst of all, the shill. Those folks have a special place here. And what do I mean by shill? Somebody asked me the other day, or we talked about it today, I think. The shill is the paid person that the CIA, I should say the clowns in America, not the good guys, I'm talking about the rogue elements, pay to jump on these platforms when we're doing live streams or we're putting up videos. They're the guys that jump in and go down there and rabbit punch everybody who's putting nice comments on there. We outnumber, we smoke them. I mean, it's like 99.9% to one. So, folks, I appreciate all that. You know, we'll just at some point I'll be done having fun. I'll move on, find something else fun to do, and we'll just ignore them completely. That's the way these people go away because they offer nothing positive in society. By the way, I had a guy this week who reached out to me after last night's live stream, and there's 600 comments in there, and I went back today, but I came across this guy that wanted to tell me about Lincoln. Everything that I thought about Lincoln, the Civil War, the real reason for the war in the South. And you know what? After I read this monologue he had written, and you know what I did? I went back and I wrote him a short paragraph. And this is a guy, if you want to approach me, I wish I had his name because I want to give him credit because he deserves it. Very eloquent, very intelligent. And when he told me the things that he told me in books that I should read to know the truth about Lincoln and the war of Northern aggression, which is what the South called it, you know, I came back to him and I thought, this is a guy, he didn't come and say something stupid, a non-intellectual who's either emotional, who's not well-researched, who hasn't looked at as many pictures in many directions to try to, assimilate information from all sources. And I just basically, in short, said, you know, I appreciate you making this recommendation. That's information I have yet to hear or maybe come across. But quite honestly, I'm not putting anything outside the parameters of possibility because we've been lied to, folks, by damn near everything we've ever been taught. And when I say that, I'm not trying to be emphatic here for no good reason. I'm being emphatic here when I tell you that we have been lied to about damn near everything in our whole life from the ground up. This is one of the discoveries that we are all going to make on the backside of the destruction of this global criminal power structure. So you have to be prepared for this. You have to be prepared for what is inevitably going to come to us. We first have to rectify to ourselves the truth of everything, of what life is about, how the universe works, why we're here, and who are the people that have had us on this track to destroy humanity for their reasons. And we know that 60%, likely 60, maybe 80, but 60% of everything that we're going to be exposed to, or we're not going to be exposed to, everything that's gone on in the destruction of humanity for a very, very, very long time, we're never going to learn about. Because if they showed us everything, when the alliance powers, when Trump, the military intelligence, the alliance powers around the world, the 22 nations that have worked and orchestrated this plan over 20 years to launch a massive cataclysmic attack on this Luciferian order to bring it down on free humanity, what they could show us, the 60% we won't get to see. And the reason is that if humanity saw the truth and knew the truth, humanity would never recover from it. However, the 20 to 40% they're going to show us is enough that any of these bad actors, these scumbags, who cut a deal to walk so they can take down everybody else, these people will never be able to walk down the street for the rest of their lives. And that's coming right from military intelligence. They'll never be able to show their face because they probably wouldn't survive it. I've said a lot of these people, when they round them up, their safest place is going to be a military prison because at least they have some working order or some structure of protection. If they're left out here to we the people, God help them. God help them. They will not survive it. Anyways, the thing about tonight, folks, I've done zero prep work. This is the first show I've done no prep work. And there's a reason for that. I've been so busy with everything else that has happened since the nuclear video took off. But, you know, it's got a lot more information have come in, of course. But I have two great guests coming on tonight. Monkey Works, you guys know who Monkey is. He's been on a couple of times. He's seen some really amazing activity that was happening over the weekend. He's tracking air traffic, even military He can identify what kind of birds are in the air, fixed wing, rotary wing, whatever's going on, which planes are carrying either equipment or personnel. But what was going on over the weekend was quite fascinating. Got another friend of mine, Adam Broker, out in Vegas. He is also has eyes on to seeing what's coming in McCarran. They have these planes coming into McCarran, and they're moving assets out toward Nellis. So something is going on. We'll learn about that tonight from Monkey. By the way, this guy's got a great program. Monkey Works. His business has completely exploded. I guess business, I'd say his profile has exploded as well. I mean, like really exploded, because he just has this intriguing way of presenting information we've never heard before. And he comes from he's former military, comes from defense aerospace industry. Father was in the aerospace industry. So he's got a real deep background there. And every Thursday night they do a live stream. So your humble, soft-spoken, compassionate, kind host here is going to be with Monkey Works on Thursdays now, which is going to be kind of fun. We'll do our live stream as usual, 7 Eastern, and that's 6 Central. So at 7 o'clock, we'll be jumping on with Monkey and his fantastic partner, Brett, over there. I should say Hotel 3. Sorry, op security break. Anyway, so we'll be joining those guys over there and just having some real good dialogue. And I'll be basically there. I'll be learning and learning and learning. So that's exciting for me. So jump into the Patriot of the Week. I've got a lot of losers of the week, but I think we're going to keep this moving along because you guys are now picking out who winners or losers are yourself. So we do have a Patriot of the Week, as two of them actually. One, Lori Wallander. I got to give you a shout out because after, I think it was during the live stream last night, Lori Wallander sends in the comment thread says, "Hello, Scott. I advertise your show on my car window using chalk paint. I also put the news of the day on my windows and it's working. I appreciate all you're doing. God blessings." I got to say something there. And you know what? There's a number of people in that thread I could have picked out. And I just had a minute before we got started. And I just like, I'm going to grab that because this speaks of who you people are. I mean, again, in this operation that we're running here on this digital warfare operation, I happen to be the messenger, but the reality of it, the true heroes and the star powers coming out there in the world from you people. Number one, because you're confirming with me that we all think alike. Number two, you're digging up incredible information. By the way, Ben Barnes 1776 on Twitter sent over a link yesterday. And I just, you know, so many things come at me, but I just was able to click one of these things on. And let me tell you what video you're going to want to go see. To back up here on my YouTube. And it got, okay, this is, here's the title of this, by the way. Jesse Perez, he's got a channel. And he has this video. You've got to see it. A lot of the things I've been sharing with you to help people understand exactly what's going on in this takedown operation of this cabal. Somebody he's interviewing explains it, things that I didn't know of, wasn't aware of. But I found some things that were intriguing that caught my attention to make me say, I got to dig deeper into this guy, whoever he was interviewing. But the title is Military Tribunals and Global Election Fraud. Military Tribunals and Global Election Fraud. It's on Jesse Perez's channel. And so Ben Barnes 1776, thanks for sending that over, buddy. I did see it and I was like, this is really some really good information. So folks, I appreciate you guys sending all of that stuff over to me. The message that I've had this past week, and it's something we continue, it is to help people understand that everybody has a stake in this fight. And the fact of the matter is nobody's going to get out of this without some type of input on some level. I think what's going to be what people are going to come to the conclusion after they see this thing walking down the pathway that it is for exposure, okay, that more and more people are going to come to the conversational or digital battlefield. Ron Partain, very bright guy. I'd call him one of my researchers. He's actually done the back end work. He's the one that created the Patriot Street Fighter brand logo. When you see that, it's kind of fun. And it defines who we are, what we're doing here. Everybody out there is a Patriot Street Fighter that's in this battle as we are in the digital on a digital battlefield. But he has an incredible depth of knowledge of history and so many things I actually learned from him. And we'll talk to him tonight. But people have to realize, folks, this Some folks say that this is a civil war. It's not a civil war. This is a revolution. And interestingly enough, the revolution to me is two-sided. The communists who have infiltrated this country, the fascists, the totalitarians, whether it be Weather Underground from the 70s, go to IPOT 1776 on BitChute, go find Weather Underground 1 and 2, listen to these. This is some of the best research I've seen on the Weather Underground. And learn, folks, learn what is in the underbelly. These people have hidden. They have stayed inside the darkest places, okay, to do what they've been doing to this country. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be visible. That's why this has crept up on us, because they never show themselves. They're very good at it. These are the cowards. These are the criminals. These are the cockroaches that bury themselves into the sewers of this world to operate and stay hidden so they can inflict this damage on humanity till they can get us to a point of breaking and then take it over. And they literally say, this is literally that they will take Trump's supporters and they'll just imprison them. There's guillotines, the whole nine yards of what they planned on doing with this takedown, if they couldn't get us to acquiesce to their philosophy. So that being said, they have launched a revolution on the free United States, as free as it is. For us, this is a revolution. This is a revolution to throw these bastards out of power, put them in the ground where they belong if they've committed crimes against humanity through military tribunals, or put them in military prisons or places they can never escape. Because until we understand that we are fighting a force that we have never dealt with head on, and that is the face of evil in the modern world, we will never, ever defeat this. And until somebody, and one of my purposes for this show was, folks, is to identify the enemy, identify it exactly what it is. And that's why folks have come to the conclusion that I'm not off my rocker calling these people what they are, because now I see some very intelligent, powerful voices are doing the same thing. These people are cockroaches. They're scumbags. They are the vermin of the planet. These are killers. These are people that destroy lives on every level. These are politicians on the take. As I said last night, folks, on the live stream, the simple fact is this: we nearly lost everything. We were on the brink. If it wasn't for Donald Trump and the military, the brave patriots who have been orchestrating this plan in a final phase takedown after failing a couple times after they took out Kennedy, if it wasn't for these people, folks, it was over. We descend, Reagan says, into 1,000 years of darkness. I contend that it would have been permanent darkness. And we were that close. And how did it happen? Because these people that we put in elected positions of power, or the stolen positions of power, which now you're learning about on all levels, from top to bottom. These criminals have been stealing levers of power through these fraudulent elections, been going on for decades and decades. Now you're seeing it for yourself. Because of these people, we've elected to power to send to these state houses who don't do shit for the people. They don't do shit for the people. They serve a different master. And that might seem that I'm being extreme. I've had personal experience with it, with a problem with my own father's property. These people are worthless. They're worthless. And this one particular legislator, guy I personally like, he hasn't served any useful purpose, in my opinion, in a legislature. Told me when he got there, Scott, the Republicans work with the Democrats. That's the problem. They just work with the Democrats. And maybe you're going up against a force in there that may be immovable. But guess what? Raise hell, open fire, and get run out of there. If that is the only purpose that you have, is to have people keep going up against these criminals and these scumbags whose lives keep getting better and better and better, while over the last 3 decades plus, and I've experienced this, watched it happen for many people in my life, standard of living keeps getting lower. You got to fight harder and harder and harder since the 70s just to keep your head above water. There was a day when mom can stay home and raise the kids. There are definitely career women, full respect for you, mad respect. There are many women that would prefer to stay home and raise their kids, be there to instill the values in them that made this nation great. But they can't, because of the ongoing and the ever-increasing tax burden that takes more of our time, more of our money, more of our leisure time, more of our spiritual time. And it just hasn't stopped. These people, the millennials that know virtually nothing about the real world life, they have no idea what it's like, many of them, to have mom to be able to be at home. Dad worked 40 hours a week, not 80 hours a week, 40. At a decent living wage, you can continue to rise over time. That doesn't happen anymore because of these scumbags in positions of power that do nothing but serve understanding of all things people and free for years and years and years and years. Realize that these people are losers, worthless, they're criminals. They don't care about the humanity. They don't give a shit about people. They just want to be in a position of power so they can rule over you. And I'll say this again. That Constitution, folks, that Constitution says that all of their power is derived from the consent of the governed. Looks like we drifted out for a couple seconds. I'm not sure if I'm under attack. I had this happen on the last live stream last night. But the point about all these people in positions of power, they have never acquiesced to the principles of the Constitution that their power is derived from the consent of the governed. We are the governed. They think they're the rulers to rule over us. We, by destined ordination of our Creator, rule over them. My dad says it all the time. We need to change this. From congressmen or representatives, we need to title these people as messengers. You're going to the body of collective lawmaking as a messenger. This is what we are telling you to do for our district and our country, not you going there, working with the other criminals and saying, here's how you're going to live your life now. This is a concept that has just never seeded into the depths of my soul, how one man who's born backwards and butt naked like everybody else, or a woman, everybody wipes their ass the same way, everybody on earth. Yet that one over there can tell me how I get to live my life on the planet when my own Creator gives me free will as I choose to live my life. Hopefully that I'm not being negligent and affecting anybody else's life in a negative way by the way I choose mine. If my Creator has given me 10 commandments and complete free will, how the hell is it supposed to work when U.S. Congress gives me 10,000 laws and limited choice? And we wonder why the whole thing's blowing up. That's the problem. So, America, what I want to teach you and our patriot partners around the world who are listening and writing me every day, listening to this show, to live streams, I love you people because you are proving that American patriotism, or patriotism in itself, is not confined to geographical boundaries, because you folks are willing to come here or fight for America and Trump and freedom from where you stand. And God bless you. And we're going to keep dumping gas on your fire until your corrupt leaders and your parliamentarians, all the people that are run by the same cabal powers as ours are, we are not going to stop this fight, folks, until we take every last one of them down. And I'm going to stay on this message. I'm going to stay in this program. I'm going to stay as a voice for as long as it takes until all of you buy into your own power and understand that this bullshit they put on our world was never supposed to be. It was never ordained by our Creator. These people come in and seize power through lying, through theft, through murder, through everything that they've done. And that is not what this life in this world was ever supposed to be. That's what's under attack. This is what we're going to destroy. And then we are going to inherit the earth and the planet as our Creator set forth for us to be able to be in an environment to spiritually ascend right back toward where we came from. And it's not possible with the misery and suffering and poverty and disease, premature death, go down through the list. That's not what it was supposed to be. And this fight is going to continue because I know that as you people rise, as you stand up and say enough is enough, in America and around the world, we outnumber these people by the billions. And as I said before, these cowards aren't principled. They're not principled. They back down every time. That's why when you show up at state houses or governor's mansions, those people think they're protected. They're probably not there half the time. But these state legislatures in some of these contested states, now they're starting to act. They didn't lead the charge. They sat back because they serve a different master. You people led the charge. You put the pressure on these people, and they finally stepped forward. Now, I will say there's a couple legislators in some of these contested states that are fighting. You know who you are. And you hear this show, you're not offended by me because you know I'm right, and you know you're with us, and you're one of the good guys and the good gals. We respect you, and we honor you. But the vast majority of you bottom feeders that have poured this bullshit on society and done what you've done to humanity, we are coming. We are coming after you. Your ass is going to be unseated, and you people, some of you patriots and some of you sharp people, business folks, whatever, it is time that you look at what has been serving us, and it is time you decide to get in the fight, and you're going to take them out in these next elections. Our job, once they bring this criminal power structure down, we have to unseat every selfish bastard who served in all these positions of power. We need to unseat these people, send them back, and put them back in the real world where they have to live by the rules that we do. We need to strip. We're going to strip everything out of D.C., all the Cadillac packages for their retirement, for their medical care, and all the bullshit they voted on, all the pay increases and all that nonsense. We've got a clean house. End it all. Get your ass back into society, and you start living under the same laws that we've been forced to live by. That's what we're doing. That's the message of the Tipping Point. That's the message of the Patriot Street Fighters here and around the world. And I don't care if you're foreign heads of states, prime ministers, chancellors, every single one of you people are now, we're scope locked on you. This is going to keep happening over and over and over until these people rise up and push your ass out of power. And they will, because they outnumber you. They outnumber you. If they turn, you better turn too the other way and get the hell out, because we are going to put people in power for the future, for the new world that's coming, that's going to serve humanity. That's why we're here. So I've never been more proud in my life with everything I've seen come at me. Again, all you folks, I'm doing everything I can to continue to field these emails and all the messages. I go down through thousands of replies on our YouTube videos, and I'm going to keep doing as much work as I can, folks, because I want you to know every single person counts as important to me. Every last one of you that reach out and you touch me in some way, believe me, it's what gives me the fuel to now sleep 3 to 4 hours a night, because we have a critical mission to accomplish here, and we are going to do it. So whatever you think's happening in all the minutia of the ebb and flow of the Trump team and the tide and the legal structure, all those things you see happening, folks, nothing more than a stage of the operation to expose all of these criminals, all the people now you're seeing pop up in the open. They're being smoked out. Now they have to fight. Watch the ones that turn on their friends. Watch the ones that start throwing their people under the bus to try to save their asses, because that's what these cowards do. If they're principled, they're going to fight to the death for what they believed in and what they've inflicted on us. The path that they were forcing us to go on, if they truly believe and they're convinced that this is the right way, they're going to fight to the death. If it takes special operators to come in, like Gina Haspel in Frankfurt, if you're a believer, why didn't you take a bullet to the last person? Why didn't you? Supreme Court had rendered this years ago, said, look, if you're willing to die for something, it's a conviction. If not, it's simply a preference. And what do these cowards do? They back up. They cop deals to save their asses, throw everybody else under the bus. The difference between these people and we, the red-blooded American patriots, the difference between them is we are willing to die for the freedom of other people. Families, people around the world, they're being oppressed. And you know what? This DNA just doesn't belong here in the United States. It belongs in Australia, the UK, Scotland, Ireland, New Zealand, France, Germany, Cameroon. I can go through Nigeria, go through all the countries around the world. That DNA is human DNA. It went dormant for a very, very, very long time around the world. It sticks here, and it is up to we, the American Patriot street fighters, to take the power back, get control of our world, export patriotic freedom to all the other countries around the world. And I assure you, that's what we're going to do. That's what Global Unity Bridge is about, that we've talked about, I mentioned last night. We have another great patriot that created a patriot network. Infrastructure's already built. We had a great conversation, and we are going to inject ourselves into that apparatus to operate inside of it so our global unity bridge can grow bigger and faster, because one man can't handle it. Got a few other gals that came on to help us put all this together, get through all your emails. No matter what you think, even if your emails, I think I'm up to November 23rd. That's what's come in. 1,200 something still sitting there. I keep trying to catch up. More come in. We're going to have a registration process once we get this set up inside this new platform. I'll tell you more about it when we have more time. But we are going to build this global unity bridge where we have teleconferencing. We're going to be able to see each other face to face. We're going to learn about each other's families. Hey, my friends are here. We got two or three of our other couples here and some of the kids, families. This is so-and-so here in the United States. This is our friends over in Cameroon. This is our friends in Hong Kong. These are our friends over in Australia, New Zealand. That's what we're going to do. We are going to bind together. We're going to use this initiative. We're going to bind humanity together, break down the walls and the barriers they put up between us. The leaders put in power by the cabal who've built walls around us so we don't get to talk to each other, learn about each other, meet each other's families, learn about each other's cultures. All they did was tell us, bad guy, good guy, hate this side, you hate these people. We don't like them. We need to go to war. You get over there and start killing them. And the other side says, yes, we'll go to war with you and we'll start killing your people. Meanwhile, these people are having dinner together when they go to the Bilderberg groups or Davos, or they go to the United Nations summits and all this bullshit they do. They're sitting there. The enemies are having dinner together, just like U.S. Congress. Same thing. That's what they do while they're sending us off to kill each other so they can thin the herd. This is the reality, folks. This is what they do. This is the machine. I know it's hard to get your head around, but this is their machine. Now we're going to get to actually meet each other. Now you're going to be actually impressed by the same likenesses that we have, all of us, different cultures, which is fascinating to me. That's what the Global Unity Bridge is going to do. And by the way, I talk about, if you want to help fund that as well, on patriotsriseup.com, there's a link you can donate to that. That is to fuel this thing. I'm going to drive it. I'm bringing other drivers in to help me, but that's what we're going to build. So that being said, I have a guy that I want to introduce all of you to. I mentioned him. He's just a very, very bright guy. He sees the world in a way that most people don't. And we were talking today, actually, about what we have going on in terms of the reality of this battle, this war that we are fighting. And I said to him, you know what? I've learned a lot from him as well. I said, you have an extraordinary amount of information and the historical context he puts things in. The truth, the things that we have never been able to actually learn in our time. So I want to bring him on for a couple of minutes and see if we can have a little dialogue with him and get his viewpoint on how he sees the world in this battle, in this war, in the reality of what we're fighting here. Not only that, we talked about, how do you wake up the sleeping? How do you wake up the walking dead to help them understand that this is what it is, this military intelligence operation to help free the world or to free the world? So he's got some real good input on that. So I want to bring on Ron Partain. Ron, are you there?
I am.
Well, my friend, congratulations. Your first time here on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio. Welcome to the discussion. I know that you are my greatest fan as of late.
Oh, I'm honored. Scott.
I was leading the witness.
I've been listening to your show. And, we talked a little earlier about you're talking about red pill with people. And, earlier in the day, I think we were discussing this. And one of the points that I was really trying to make is that, we are all on our journey in life. Not everybody red pilled at the same time, and not everybody red pilled in the same way.
Red pill, folks, means you're getting a blue pill or the red pill, just like in the movie The Matrix.
Well, I'm glad you said something about that, because everybody talks about the red pill, but nobody talks about the blue pill. Right.
Let me give some background to this, because not everybody in the world has seen the movie The Matrix, folks. So The Matrix with Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne. He's basically waking up from this matrix that was built. It's basically, it's quite parallel to what they really did to us, but there are these pods. It's in a futuristic setting, cataclysmic events happen, whatever. But anyways, the Matrix is basically a construct. It's a computer program construct, basically, but there's really humans involved, and humans are plugged into this network. It's like a power center, like a utility company's power center. And they're basically just draining the power of growing humans. They're in these pods in water, like you'd be in a womb as you're growing. So anyways, when one guy wakes up out of this to some degree, knows something's not right, then he's presented one of two pills. And Lawrence Fishburne's character, name is Morpheus, and he said, look, all I can offer you, if you take the blue pill, you can go right back to the same, basically go back to sleep, same world you've always believed was true, and basically live in this matrix with no real freedom. Or you can take the red pill. The only thing I can promise you with the red pill, the only thing I can promise you is the truth. And once you have the truth, you can never go back. So, of course, he takes the red pill. So what we're trying to do to wake people up, we're talking about the red pill. How do you effectively red pill people about the truth of what's going on to help break them out of this tractor beam that has had, most of us have been in our whole lives, of the bullshit machine that have programmed us to believe what we believe? And so there's ways to go about it. Some people just want to drop the hammer, which is not effective. Some folks learn to bring them along slowly. Some folks don't know how to address their parents or their wife or husband who just ardently don't believe any of what we're sharing here. There's actually people that are considering being divorced from their spouse because they think their spouse went off the rocker. So there's a way to approach these people. And I think, Ronnie, our discussion then goes from there to how you and I talked about what's important in helping people understand what's going on and not shoving it down their throat.
Well, the important component, I think, Scott, is to be gentle and be kind. And be understanding. You know, every single one of the people that are out there on the left, they are our fellow countrymen. Now, we may not agree with them, and we may ardently disagree with them, and we may choose not to engage with them. It's one thing, there's a difference between people being, antagonistic towards us, but there's another segment out there who's just ambivalent, you know. But I will tell you, even the ones that are antagonistic, are probably the ones that are going to turn they're going to be the hardest ones to turn. But when they turn, they're going to be our most ardent brothers in the foxhole when they do realize that they've been deceived. But the point of the matter that I was trying to make is that we need to be gentle, you know. There was a post on the boards, and it wasn't an official Q post. But I think it was the Aranon post, and there was a lot in that. But one of the things in there was, you know, you all need each other.
Well, I'm going to read that. Now that you're on that subject, you sent that to me. I couldn't find it, but here's a breadcrumb that was dropped, and it says, "In 1909, we lost everything. My father caught on first to the Bilderbergers." Or the Bilderbergs, then he caught on to NASA. He demanded to know who the Greys were and why they were here. They killed him. I strategically staged my own death, allied with the one person in the world whom I knew was honorable enough to trust. And we began to build the plan. Penance is coming. Regardless of what you think, you are not yet awake. You do not know how deep this goes. If you knew, you could not sleep. Any of you could never go on. You need each other. You need every one of you. Learn to play nice with each other or be left behind. If one stumbles, pick them up. If one asks a question, give them the answer. That is how we grow. There's no more room in a plan for arrogance and self-importance. If you turn one away, you've hurt the plan. If you hurt the plan, you'll be left behind. We are watching. We see all. There are no secrets. You would never believe the files kept on every one of you, for that matter. You'd never believe where they're kept. Prepare for the next phase. Prepare for each other. You are one. And where we go one, we go all. Ron reminded me of this today when we talked about it. And I said, you know, I'm glad we talked about it because I myself have to learn to be patient as well, because everybody is connected. We're all connected. Sometimes I forget that folks had not pulled away from the tractor beam, even though I did 25 years ago. And we all have to be more patient and understanding as time comes forward and activities and events emerge in this takedown and people get to see confessions on and videotape, then they're going to be willing, as Ron said today, they're going to be willing to start asking you questions because you've talked about it. I know this firsthand, folks. For the last 3+ years, I've been talking about this operation, and I can't tell you how many people have chuckled behind my back. I can't tell you how many people would rib me because I've spoke of these things, and I never stopped. And is it hurtful? Does it hurt my feelings? Does it upset me? It just, I got to a point where I'm just shaking my head like, you know, they're asleep. That's it. They're asleep. Not offended by it. Might be offended by the behind the back stuff. I know it goes on. But you know what? There's vindication coming. These people are asleep. And you're just going to be recognized later on when it's time for people to start answering questions. That's why we're here. We have to be here to pick up the pieces. Those who know, those of us who've lived through this thing play by play in real time, and we lived it. We're not going to be reading about it. We've lived it. Our role, my role, your role, if you've been following this, is to be here to help people pick up the pieces, because the psychological trauma of learning the truth is going to be very difficult for many of us. Our job is not to beat people up. Our job, Scott, is to be ready for them.
You said something interesting there. You know, we do need to be there. You know, everybody comes to the truth in their own time. And we need to realize that just because people aren't awake yet doesn't mean they're not going to be awake. And I think I talked about being kind to people, even though they're assholes to us. We need to be kind to people, because when these people do realize that they have been deceived, our fellow countrymen and our fellow countrymen of all nationalities, when they do come to the conclusion, and they will, you know, the vast majority of them will. When they realize that they have been deceived, they're going to be scared. We are lucky. We're the ones who have been able to grab onto Q, read the drops, study the information, or we're the thirsty ones.
We'll refer to that as 17. You know for what reasons?
Yeah,
17th letter of the alphabet. 17.
We're the lucky ones that have been able to, you know, to get that intel and study it and be ready to have the eyes to see the things that are occurring now. But those people haven't. They're still asleep. But everybody needs to realize that at one point in time, you were still asleep. And how did you get awake? One of the biggest things that people need to realize is when you're going to wake somebody up, ask questions. Ask questions. Let them figure things out on their own. Ask them a provoking question and have them go look it up, because when they look it up, see, we all have a normal, or we all have a confirmation bias. Even conservatives, everybody has a confirmation bias. And when we are looking information up and we are analyzing it for ourselves, our confirmation bias goes out the window. We don't feel challenged. So if we're in a conversation and you ask me a question and I feed you the answer, well, I'm doing you a disservice, because I'm telling you something and your confirmation bias doesn't want to accept it. Or if it does come to the conclusion, or even if I prove it to you, your confirmation bias can kick in and have you react to not accept it, even though I've proven it to you, because you just can't be wrong because of your pride. So ego and pride have big roles in here, because, you know, we have a belief structure of what people have, you know, people have believed all their lives. So I think that's a big component that people don't realize. You know, I think once we do red pill, and once we do realize, you know, the way things are and we have been deceived, we want to run out and tell the world, you know, like, oh my God, check this out. And that's all well and good, but you know, people who haven't studied information and they go out and they tell it to the world, that's when they start to get ridiculed. And, you know as well as I do, that the ridicule is there. So, right.
Yeah, exactly.
My biggest thing is be nice to people. Even though they're mean to you, be nice. Because when people do realize that they have been deceived, they're going to know who's been nice to them and who hasn't been nice to them. And these are our countrymen. And we will unify. Now, we may not unify over the results of the election, but when the outing of the pedophilia and the other really heinous things, when those truth bombs are revealed, there's going to be a lot of angry people, and they're going to need us to help them through this. And that's why we have been fortunate enough to dig into the intel ourselves over the last 3 years. But that was the entire purpose of the plan of 17, to lay a foundation for people like you and I who can gravitate to that truth and then be there and be strong rocks for people who are who are adrift in the sea of lies.
Well, I need to check things like that as well, because again, we assume, and I learned this from a teacher that I had in speech class when I was a sophomore, Mr. Stagy, what a great guy. I remember him saying, and you know, everybody's scared to give a speech. So he said, just remember, everybody sitting out in your audience, they don't know anything about what you know. So therefore, you're going to sound like an expert, number one. And he said, when you speak to people, you don't assume they know anything. Just like Vince Lombardi, every season, professional football players, he would start at the foundation. Gentlemen, this is a football. And so what I learned was, because I've got all this knowledge on whatever I'm talking about, when I'm speaking to somebody from the ground up, it's important to don't assume they know everything and fill in gaps. And I'm not really specifically speaking to this topic, but in general. And I learned that. So here, same thing. We can't assume that people have all this knowledge. So we got to start, in a lower gear, obviously. But, that being said, that was really good insight in that conversation we had today. I wanted everybody else to hear it. Now, for example, I have to say this. I have to be, I have to have more compassion for people that have this fear. And that's why I started doing the live streams, because I knew there's a lot of fear out here. If I had not known this information, and I had seen the same thing, Bill Barr, John Durham, John Huber, what in the hell's going on? Where are the arrests? And I have this come at me, and I talk about it on the show. Folks, this is the operation. This is the plan. But if I had not known this, I would be raging as well. Like, I thought, how can these people keep getting away with it when, on the other hand, we know they're not? What is Barr's purpose? What's Durham's purpose? Is it to take all this information, these investigations? And first of all, there's never going to be a Durham report, in my opinion. These investigations don't have public reports. They have indictments. So is Barr and Durham's role and all these people to do their part of the investigation and then hand it over to the Department of Defense? Because this is a wartime situation. This isn't criminal conduct. This is an attack on the U.S. and then the Pentagon picks it up. That's what I see coming. All this is handed over on top of what the Pentagon knows. We can't have this go through the justice system. There are dictates in the Constitution. If the judicial branch cannot serve its purpose, which we now know it can't, so many deep state judges go down through the list, it can't happen. The only way, that's why 17 has said military is the only way, for a number of reasons, because it's not corrupted. Number two, there are so many, 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 many thousands of people that have to be dealt with. The only way is through the tribunal system. They present the evidence. They don't even have to be there, but the judges are showed by the military lawyer. Here's the evidence. The judges look at it. They're guilty. Here's your sentence for treason or whatever it is, sedition. And the sentence is rendered now, next case, next case, next case. This has been going on since 2018. Gitmo. Diego Garcia from my resource contacts. So that there's reasons why these things are going this way. Anyways, that being said, we got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes here. And so anything you want to add to that, my friend?
No, you mentioned that there's not going to be a Durham report. I agree with that. Durham is a prosecutor. He's not doing things to to put together a report. He's doing things to put together prosecutions. And so, you know, I know a lot of people have slammed Barr. You know, I'm at the point now, brother, I'm just waiting to see. I'll tell you the truth. I don't even watch the news anymore. I hardly even pay attention to what's going on. I look at this with the glasses that, you know, we're watching the Super Bowl and I'm a 49ers fan, and I already know that the last play of the game is going to be a 49ers touchdown to win the Super Bowl. Now, how it happens between here and the end of the game, I don't know. But I already know that we're going to win the game. So I'm watching everything with these, I don't want to say rose-colored glasses, but I'm watching everything with a positive spin. And we may win the war, but we may not win every battle. So I don't look at the tiny losses in the battle because I'm focused on what's going to happen at the end. And I already know that we're going to win, so my attitude is good. And I don't let other things bring me down. So maybe that's another little negative information that people can use to keep their spirits up, to know that we've already won this battle.
Right.
Don't fret about the small stuff. And, you know, as their saying goes, don't worry about the small stuff, and it's all small stuff.
It is. And I don't, same thing, I don't follow the news play by play. I pick up the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I've been so busy fielding everything that I don't even get a lot of research from my Twitter feed. What I've learned to do is, you know what, whatever pops up and whatever sticks, we got something to talk about. A lot of stuff pops up, right. It just doesn't stick. And again, that's okay, because I understand that this operation and what we're seeing is people are simply now being exposed to the truth. They would have never known about all of these criminals at the local election level and all these people that are just ideologically corrupt, or they're being paid off, the governors, the state legislators that actually have shown complete inaction in so many ways. And it wasn't until the fire came from their constituents that they actually get off of their asses and do something. Every single piece of this exposure is critical for us to change the country. That's why they call it the Great Awakening, because we're finally going to see the truth, because every criminal and every aspect of American society that's been corrupted is going to be revealed. So, Ron, thank you so much. We got to get you back on here for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back for the second hour of the show with Monkey Works. It's going to be a great one, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Hey folks, Karl Marx here. You know from my smash hit, The Communist Manifesto, the little ditty that changed the world. I crack myself up. But really, you know what else? The joke is on you, because this little manifesto has been used on you. Yeah, the United States of America. And then there was my epic, Das Kapital, a sweeping work of intrigue and...
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming back at you. Sorry for the second delay there. By the way, again, if you haven't been on this this particular program tonight up until now, second hour, we got a great guest for you. You're going to love Monkey. We call him Monkey. His on Twitter, his handle is at MIL for military, and then an underscore and an OPS for ops, at underscore MILOps. We know him as MilSpecOps Monkey. He has an interesting background, ex-military, comes from defense aerospace. Actually, he's multi-generational in that field. So he's got a great, 80,000 foot view of a lot of things that most people don't know, maybe don't understand. He's going to explain a lot of things about what he sees in aircraft movements, whether it's civilian, whether it's international leaders, whether it's military. And it's really fun to watch him. His information is so compelling that we were just talking before the show. His viewership has gone crazy. He'll put up a 15-minute dissertation on what he sees in some of these military movements around the country, and he can decipher it, and he'll get 180,000, 200,000 hits on that. I just saw something he put up 6-7 hours ago. It's probably over 100,000 views. So he's skyrocketing in his own. And we'll bring him in a minute. By the way, folks, if you're coming back right now for the second hour, because if you don't know, this is a very hard-hitting, high-octane truth hammer. We bring it to you at Mach 3. And so some of the folks that are new, welcome to the second hour of the show. If you want to follow us here on The Tipping Point, everything that I do for The Tipping Point, you can catch me at patriotsriseup.com. That is patriotsriseup.com. You won't lose track of me there. YouTube decides to pull me down for some ambiguous reason with their arbitrary rules, then that's something I can't control. But you will find me at patriotsriseup.com. You can connect with me on other platforms, video platforms. You can connect with me Twitter right there. You can connect with me on Facebook. You can connect with me or connect to the YouTube channel if you want to find out. It's all there. If you want to any of the media, if you want to reach me, you'll see a contact there. On there's patriotstreetfighter.com. You can get to me through there with an email. If you're not media, don't go there. Don't send that email. It'll get deleted if it's not media related, and then I'll never know who you are. So you always want to just, go to my email address if you want to send me something by email, Global Unity Bridge or not. It's scott@ttpradio.com. That's for The Tipping Point, scott@ttpradio.com. And, we're going to go ahead and bring Monkey on. We're going to jump right into this because I know he's got a ton of information and intel that we're going to consider. Have fun with that. So let's bring back our guest from the past. This is Monkey Works, WRX. By the way, I do want to say this. You want to check out his website too. It's monkeyworks, WERX.US. Correct me if I'm wrong, Monkey, but He's got his blog set up there. He's got some pretty cool, you know, he sports one of these real good looking jihadi beards, something I'm Native American. I could never have a hope to grow one of these beards that these guys do. So he has a great line of beard wax products and stuff like that. So you want to check that out. It's pretty cool. And, you know, follow his work too. So Monkey, here you are back on the Tipping Point. Welcome.
Hey brother. Appreciate you having me, man.
Always a pleasure. So, you know, I was coming back from dinner on Saturday night, and I got a text from you talking about the aircraft movement that was happening out there around Nellis. And so when you sent that over, of course I did get home and I was able to jump on, online and see something you were putting up following that movement. I thought, because you reached out to me and a friend of mine also reached out to me, he's out there and he saw the movement, you know, deuce and halves and a lot of personnel, whatever. So I figured let's jump into this and talk about what you saw throughout that night and over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, what caught my attention was somebody sent me a screenshot of 12 C-130s heading westbound. And you don't really see 12 C-130s together very often. There's usually two or three, you know, strung together. And we call that'll be like a three ship or something, right? But to see a 12 ship all heading out is pretty rare. And so, you know, as soon as I saw that on my screen, I was thinking, boy, I gotta go dig into this, see what's going on. And so when I jumped on to the app and started looking closely, it wasn't just C-130s heading westbound. It was C-17s and a lot of them. I mean, combined between the C-17s and the C-130s, there was probably close to 50 aircraft in the air, all going to Nellis. And so I sat and watched them one after another, you know, land at Nellis, and, you know, they had some spillover that parked at the commercial runway, you know, right there beside Nellis Air Force Base. And then they had some that actually departed Nellis and went to Los Angeles. And so, I was told, this is what's crazy, is I've never seen that before in my life. I've been watching the skies for a long time, and, you know, being an ex-Air Force guy, you know, you get involved in a lot of red flags and different types of things, generations and other, you know, operations that you do. But to see that many heavies, you know, moving out all to the same location was just, to me, it was pretty wild. But now my understanding, so in talking to some folks, somebody said, well, it was what they call a JFE or a joint forcible entry exercise, and that's where it's all hands on deck. They move, you know, all these big pieces of, you know, equipment, C-17, C-5s, you know, C-130s, all in and out just to show that they have the ability to do so, right? And so they're saying that was an exercise. But what's crazy is that since then, you know, I've been watching it. Normally when you have an exercise, it's not just hey, let's all get together and everybody go to this one location. And then that's it. That's the end of the exercise. There's typically something behind it, right? And so today I was watching more aircraft come out. I watched a six ship come out of there and then disappear into the mountains over New Mexico, as well as several C-17s, probably about nine total going into Fort Bragg. And so there's definitely something's going on. It just doesn't seem – I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't add up. And here's the other piece too, is that I was asking, just like you, you know, I've got buddies that are out there and I've got people that reach out to me pretty quickly and tell me what's going on. And there's a circle of trust. There's guys that I listen to and there's other ones that I don't, because I don't have any credibility with them. Right. And I don't, you know, they could be telling me the truth, but I don't know them. I haven't vetted them. And so, but there's certain guys that'll tell me something, and it's, you know, very sound judgment. It's very, you know, they're on the ground there. They see it, eyes on it. And so what was interesting was that I had a couple of guys tell me that the ground troops that were on, you know, there's guys that work the flight line at Nellis, right? They ride around the bread trucks, and when an aircraft comes in, they got it on the board. They know exactly what spot it's going to, you know, and those guys get out there and they got the fire bottles there and they've got, you know, their catch kits, so to speak, right? So they can, you know, marshal them in and park them and things like that. And so my understanding was these guys got a total of less than an hour's notice that all of these aircraft are coming in. So, you know, when a flight plan is filed, it's usually not an hour out, you know, unless it's short notice, but not 50 aircraft, you know, that's a lot of planning that goes into that. So these guys were telling me that they had less than an hour notice for all these things to get on, you know, into the ground. And then I also heard that these aircraft contained Marines and Army troops. And so, I don't know. It just like I said, it just was something that got my attention. I have never seen that before in my life. And so, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but at the same time, it just was definitely an attention getter, especially being on December 5th, which, you know, D5, I think, is the term that we talk about in the Q world, right? And so the fact that that happened on that date, and there was a lot of other things going on around that date that got our attention. Now, another intel drop that I got was that there was a lot of federal employees in the Yuma area that were non-aircraft related as well for training exercises. So, you know, I just feel like there's something going on in that little corner, you know, at the bottom of Vegas, you know, up against California there. So,
well, there, you know, we know there's some serious, I mean, heavy duty cabal installations there. In fact, you know, when you sent me that, not long after, I forget what time I was headed back home, it might have been around 10 or before that, and my friend out there in Vegas sends me a text at 10:43. He says, lots of military aircraft heading to Nellis. He says, 24 plus ships pre-positioning for Antifa control, perhaps. And then he also said, Janet Air is still flying back and forth to A-51, which is Area 51. He says, more frequently now, too, more cars are parking at their lot off Las Vegas Boulevard than normal. And he also a little bit later sent, just saw five of the 12 C-130s go over my house on pattern for McCarran, which is a local airport there 30 minutes ago.
Yes.
Yep. Might be a different flock. And then see what time this other one came in. He also had eyes on the H-60s coming in. Said, let me find that one. Let's see. Over the last few days, I've seen a lot of H-60s flying from California toward Nellis up the 15 freeway. I've counted 14 in the last 3 days. And then happy Sunday, Patriot Street. Oh, that's okay. Happy Sunday, Patriot Street Fighter. A lot of troops arrived at Nellis and McCarran last night. A bunch of buses and deuce and a half moved troops from McCarran to Nellis area going to drive down there. Shortly for a look, more planes coming in this morning too, and that must have come in on Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. And then today he said, hey, bud, a lot of barricades around the local streets around Nellis today. Also, they closed down an aircraft observation area on a hill east of Nellis, chained off and a monster 4x4 armored Oshkosh on guard. There is a big go-away feeling around the base. So, you know, there's something, obviously something going on. Just for the folks, Monkey, that don't know, you know, what these aircraft in particular are, because a lot of people won't know around the world that are listening tonight. Yeah, tell them what a C-17 and a C-130 are, so they know.
Yeah. So C-130 is basically it's manufactured by Lockheed Martin, and it's a four-engine cargo carrier, for the most part, a cargo carrier. Now they do have other variants where they can, you know, do gunships, which it is a one hell of a war machine.
That's the AC-130, right?
The attack version, so it's, for the most part, it's a cargo, it's a transport carrier. It carries troops and equipment. So, you know, you can get a fair amount of equipment on a C-130, and it's not by any means the largest of them, right? I mean, you can put tanks on there, you can put, you know, a set of Humvees and a boatload of troops on a C-130. And so when you got 12 of those coming in, that's quite a bit of equipment and personnel. Now the C-17 is kind of, it's not too new, but it is new in terms of the cargo fleet. And that thing is monster. It is, if I had to equate it to a commercial aircraft, it's probably like almost 747. It's not as big as a C-5, but it's pretty stinking close. And a C-5 is also a cargo. It's one of the largest outside, you know, American-made cargo containers. And so those aircraft, the C-17, are what the president uses when he's going to a location, and they'll fly in. They actually put, you'll see his Marine One helicopters go into the inside of the C-17s. So, I mean, it's got, you think about putting Marine One inside of something, that's pretty large.
It's startling how massive. In fact, my brother-in-law was at Dover, stationed at Dover for a number of years, and I'd get down there and visit. And this was right about the time that I was going through recruiting for Naval Marine Aviation. And I remember talking about, man, we just need a water breakout. So they'd open up, you know, the needs assessment again, get money flowing into aviation. That kind of killed my automatic slot. And it was devastating. But being down there at Dover, so he was guarding these C-5s and, you know, watching these things doing combat dives and watching these things just get off the ground. You're like, how's that house hanging right there in the air? Like, it's not even moving. It's probably going to, you know, 150 knots. It's so damn big. But I actually sat in the cockpit of that thing. And, you know, I just thinking about sitting in a cockpit looking down. I was flying planes out of Penn State University's Park Airport up there, single engine Aero Commander, you know. But, you know, and, you know, you're coming down, you're flaring this little plane on the runway. I'm thinking, can you imagine judging the flare on a C-5? Like, you're five stories up now. Like, how do you judge that?
Like, but flying a building.
It truly, it's like, insane. It is insane. Like, you're flying a freaking skyscraper. It's crazy.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I used to live out in Kwajalein, and C-5s would come out there, and that's a small runway. And you don't think of something that large being able to take off and land on a runway. But my understanding is a C-5 has the same amount of rollout as an F-16. That's how much thrust that aircraft has. Jeez. And lift. So an F-16, you know, I don't know, 1,200 feet maybe, and that thing is straight up. So, you know, a C-5 to do that, it's incredible how much thrust and lift that thing has and how much equipment it can get in there. I don't know how many troops can want a C-5, but I imagine it's probably like a 747 or, you know, one of these big giant Airbuses that are, you know, I mean, it's single. You don't have people double stacked or anything, right? So, but – you know, a C-17, I would imagine you probably get about 3 heads on that easily.
Wow.
Easily. And some equipment. So.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. So one of the subjects I want to broach with you, and I haven't had, you know, Gene Cosense on yet. We tried to do that before the election and he got real busy and he might be buried in, you know, 1500 emails in my inbox because he's going to come on after the election, but he's the one that does, you know, he's got intel contacts that are part of the you know, subterranean war group that's going after these deep underground military bases. And I don't know if you listen. Have you ever listened to him?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I got to send you some of his stuff. He's been on, you know, a couple different people. There's one called His Glory. I just came across, forget his name. His name may be Ron, but His Glory, he's a pastor. He's a really sharp guy. He's ex-military. He's a pastor now. And he had him on just weeks ago, and they were talking about the deep underground military bases that they've recently taken out. And he's been covering this stuff. I probably came across Gene 18 months ago, but it's kind of a disturbing subject because, first of all, understanding that there are rogue compartmentalized elements of the U.S. military that are cabal-run that have unbelievable installations miles below ground and are typically always under your regular Air Force base, you know, whether it's Kirkland or Edwards or you know, even probably Nellis, but certainly Area 51 and all these bases, right, Pat? I mean, where they have programs that the world knows nothing about. But, you know, so these guys, and my guess is my first thought was, this might be an incursion into Area 51. And I actually talked to two ex-military guys from the secret space programs and one who's been, you know, certainly involved in what goes on miles below Area 51. So I know Gene had said recently that this is probably in the last maybe 4 or 5 months that he went through a list of all these bases around the country, which ones have been cleaned, which have been destroyed. They had to destroy them because they couldn't, you know, root out, you know, an entrenched enemy. And Area 51, I thought, was one of the ones he said is clean. So they're taking them over, stopping down the, you know, the human trafficking and all that. But that was my initial thought on that. But, you know, based on some of those things that you've seen in the last year following this, and is subject to these deep underground military bases. Do you see any correlation to these movements of any of these aircraft?
It's very plausible. I mean, if you look at where they're going and knowing where these known dumbs are, I mean, that area right there around Nellis is embedded. You got China Lake and Area 51. And then, of course, we know just, you know, from Los Angeles and the ports in Los Angeles that there are underground systems that run all the way into the cities. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, given the equipment that's out there these days, you know, they can actually dig underground with these giant, you know, this machinery that they have. They can go miles and within weeks underground, and it's plausible. I mean, it's very plausible. It's possible these guys are, you know, going into these underground bases. You know, that's why we're not seeing them move anywhere. So I don't know. I mean, you remember the exercise that took place in Los Angeles, right there in Long Beach in that area, where, you know, these H-60s, the Blackhawks were seen flying down with the little birds,
yep,
you know, right down the main street of Los Angeles at night, and nobody saw any troops. So you just saw them come out of the buildings. You know, they came up because they came from underground and breached something and then exfilled. And so, you know, if you'd have seen 60, 70 Army guys coming down the main street, you would have noticed it. It would have been on the cameras. People would have seen it. You know, they just, you know, somebody would have caught it. So yeah, there's definitely something to it, without a doubt. So,
well, I remember when that happened, whoever got the footage from two different spots on buildings, they saw these. Yeah, the little birds came down, dropped some guys off, and I think those are the birds that are bringing in Delta Force Special Ops guys and, you know, getting in, getting out, right? So when he's black, I know him. I lived there, and black, and they're dropping right down on Wilshire Boulevard. I'm like, holy Mary, mother of God, this is a training exercise. Like, are you kidding me? Because the traffic, I mean, you didn't see any traffic. Somebody stopped it somewhere. But I heard this recently, and of course, there's a lot of things pop up. You don't know what's true and what's not. But what, you know, again, could be speculation, but somebody said what they were bringing out. Because you saw there were a couple guys, like they were carrying some type of hammock type bag. It took a couple of them to carry it out. Like there could have been, let's just say, and it wasn't this, I'm quite certain. I doubt it was one of the Samson option nukes that the Khazarian mafia placed in 25 cities around the country. I know the snake eaters from what I understand, took care of all that. But they said it could have been canisters to launch a bioweapon. And of course they knew what it was, you know, and you talked about the Guatemala cultural center where they're doing massive child trafficking right there too. You brought that up, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so that would be my feel as well, because there were later pictures that had surfaced where they were actually spraying out the inside of one of those H-60s, you know, doing a chem wash, right? So, yeah, you typically don't do that unless you've got some bodily fluids or something in there that you don't want other people being in contact with. And so, you know, that kind of fits in line with it. And knowing the things that we're seeing now, we see COVID and that kind of stuff, it wouldn't shock me at all to see some type of a bioweapon. I mean, you imagine something like that getting released inside of Los Angeles and how quickly that would spread. It'd be like New York, right? It would just spread like wildfire. So
it'd be worldwide in 24 hours, just with the air activity coming out of LAX. Yeah. It would be worldwide, like literally overnight.
Yeah.
So, based on all the things that you've seen, and you know, I know you've looked at this intelligence for a couple of years, and I like to get people's input because everybody's is, you know, different. We're all on the same track in some degrees. You know, you're more of a measured voice, so I listen to what everybody says. And you're a guy. You don't, when you hear something, you don't just jump and run. You, like, I know you sit back and look, and you're probably looking for patterns of information coming out. You know, how does it match up with your experience in your world?
Yeah.
So based on what,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You're one of those guys that, you know, I look that way. I get information. In fact, I know I put information out at times here that I explain to people, look, this is what I'm hearing. And then of course they think that you're saying your intel's BS. It's not intel. I'm just telling you what's out there. I always beat people up over here. I'm not doing your work for you. Your job is to go dig and research. This is how this country got into situation in the first place. You're listening to MSM. Even me, I tell them, don't listen to everything I say. You got to dig and do your own work. You need to vet this stuff yourself, because maybe all my stuff adds up. But what if I'm that good and I'm just roping you people in just like all these other scumbags in DC have done forever, mainstream media, and we lose it all. But from your point of view, what do you see happening right now in the whole, say, even prior to the election and post-election debacle? What, how do you see it?
Well, you know, what's crazy is I balance everything based on what I'm seeing in the air and the traffic and the type of traffic and the activity that's going on. And so in the last, since around mid-November, about a week after the election popped, I started seeing an increase in aircraft going to the black sites that I'm pretty confident they're black sites, right? And so I watched that uptick and I thought, man, somebody's about to go to jail. Like, this is going to be a doozy. And then nothing happened. And it just, but the thing is, those black site activities continued and they're still continuing right now. And so I've been watching them and, you know, waiting for either something to pop into Gitmo or a big arrest to make the news, and nothing's going. And it just, but the thing is, it's a marathon. Well, then you see this activity with, you know, these giant troop movers going across the U.S. You know, like right now, I just watched another three ship of C-130s come out of, are heading off to, let's see here, where they're heading into Boston right now, three ship. And so I'm watching that go, you know, going to play. And so it's Boston's one of those areas that I've been watching some of these farm birds, as I call them, these known agency aircraft service providers. Boston was an area that they've been going to recently. And so, you know, I've just started to see patterns. I start to watch it. I just start to kind of, you know, to me, I think we're about to see something very, very, very big. And I mean, historically big break, like something's about to go. One of the other things too, you know, I was telling you that I watched the aircraft going to and from Guantanamo Bay. I watched the tempos and I've been watching these aircraft. There's about a dozen of them now that are, you know, known agency birds that I've been watching almost daily. And they slowed down on December 3rd for about 24 hours. And I imagine that's because they were doing so much flying. They had to probably do some maintenance checks on them, you know, light maintenance, nothing heavy. Right. But I started noticing an additional pattern to two different locations while I was watching this. And so they quit going to the Caribbean black sites, and only one aircraft is now going back and forth to those same sites, which is the Kalita charters, right? But what I'm noticing is there is an island in the Azores that they have been frequenting. And these planes headed over to Greece, and then they would come back to this place that's called a Tessaria Island. And there's a U.S. Air Force base on the eastern side of that island. But if the island's only about 12 miles across, it's a little dinky, sorry, 25 miles across. It's a little dinky island, but about 12 miles from that Air Force base is a prison that is state of the art that I've been watching. And it's, you know, it's almost shaped, I don't even know how to, it's just a very unique, it stands out of the landscape. So if you're on Google Maps and you're looking at this, it's about middle point at the bottom side of the island. And it just has a very, very unique, it's a prison that's there that looks like it's a definitely a high security prison. It's got walls going around it that are probably 30 feet up, yes, if I had to guess from aerial. So
you've talked about the move, even last year, the movement out of Gitmo. We've come to, you know, learn or discern from the stuff that's come out and from other sources that, you know, Trump signed that executive order. Was that 2018? Did all that began early 2018, where it looked like the tribunals were being, and I talked to one of my sources. She had reached out to me a couple of weeks ago. She's an intel analyst at NSA for 28 years. She comes from Naval Intel. And she reached out to me to let me know, hey, you know, you are full throttle. And I want you to know, you know, now that you're out there in the open and you're just, you know, raining down hellfire, here's what you might want to be prepared for, you know, or kind of give me fair warning. Yeah. And boy, she gave me the warning and told me what they'd done to her as a whistleblower. So the I guess you'd say many nightmares I had that night. I get up the next morning and I'm like, am I really going to do this? Am I going to go full throttle? Because what she told me, but the fear of God in me, and I had to make a decision right there. You know, it's tearing my soul apart to do nothing. This is, you know, this is our soldiers are going to defend that document at all personal cost. And whether they're in a battlefield, then I have no other choice regardless. But anyways, that being said, she was telling me about the number of these things that have been going on pretty high speed at Gitmo, at Diego Garcia, and a number of bases, military bases around the country. Now what that number is, I have no idea, or where they are. But sounds like there's a lot of activity. What's the aircraft movement tell you from 2018 forward?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It you'll see, like right now, I was seeing up until just recently, within like the last 10 days, the aircraft traffic to Guantanamo Bay had increased exponentially. It was almost like there was a spike going on. I saw a lot of what we would call a troop rotations. It seemed to be more inbound than outbound. But, you know, as I watch that, now that's kind of leveled off. So I don't know if it was preparatory for what's coming. But these black site ones with these smaller little, you know, these are like G3s, G5s that are flying to these remote locations, these remote islands. Those are ones that I'm watching now very closely. And the Azores, so here's the thing. Some of these aircraft – they're flown by a company called Phoenix Air. Phoenix Air is out of Cartersville, Georgia, and they're a known, you know, they are a service provider for the Alphabet Soup companies, right? So a big DOD provider. And so these guys have been flying in and out of Greece and to the Azores, but they've also been going up to Iceland. And so I've been looking at the prison between the Azore prison and the Iceland prison, and they both are, you know, high security. Super. I mean, now somebody reached out to me and told me the prison in Iceland, and this guy was a former Green Beret. He said makes Guantanamo Bay look like, you know, a playground, a child's playground. That it's absolutely heads and tails on a grandiose scale, bigger than anything that Guantanamo Bay is. So
wow,
And now my understanding, and talking with my buddy that used to be stationed at Guantanamo Bay, you know, that, you know, they have the ability to hold about 40,000 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, let me just interrupt you on that for 1 second, because I just thinking about this for the last minute or so. When you said that, oh, by the way, you've seen how they've labeled that new deep state home gardens or something like that spelled backwards. You ever seen that?
No.
Okay, so there's a map, and they showed new, and then if you take deep state, spell it backwards, and take home and spell it backwards, and then gardens at the end, it looks like a whole different, like a different language of what they call this location on the island. And somebody pointed out, flip the two middle words around and it reads perfectly, new deep state home gardens. I was like, wow. But anyways, you look at these, you know, I'm thinking, where would you put all these prisoners? You know, $200 million upgrade or $300 million, whatever it is at Gitmo, to house that many people. And I thought to myself, well, why wouldn't they, like anything else? Dr. Stephen Greer says the same thing. He runs a disclosure project. He said, nothing important is above ground, nothing. So you think about what's below the ground at Gitmo. Now I can see how they can store 40,000 prisoners there. And it's probably, I heard the place is full, but who knows what the truth is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can tell you that, you know, looking at, I'll just give you an example. I'm looking at Google Maps right now, right? And I'm looking at Guantanamo Bay, and they're at the edge. So where the base is showing, you can actually see where the photo has been manipulated. So it's literally the ground cover goes from green to brown. And so you can see that the image where Guantanamo Bay is through Google has been just like cut and paste into it. You can actually see the square where they have overlaid it. So you cannot see a current or modern version of what is going on there. And so that's why I noticed this morning when I'm looking at this image, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. This has been spliced. And so I'll take a picture of it and show the outline and send it to you. But it's just staggering. But that's what they're doing, right? They're covering up. I mean, I would imagine if you spend, and I've heard it's upwards of $1 billion is what has been spent on.
I've heard that too. So, I've heard the same thing secondhand too.
I mean, that thing would look like Vegas Strip with $1 billion sunk into it. I mean, you, Miami Beach, you know, I mean, it's.
Yeah. It's got to be underground. Got to be all underground.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Have to be. And, you know, you've got the hillside and the mountains there, so that would give you some overhead. And there seem to be lots and lots of little, almost hives, you know, as you look at the mountainside where, you remember on Epstein Island, they showed ventilation where there you could tell there was underground because you could actually see the ventilation things from popped up out of the ground, you know, that showed that there's something below it. And so you can see very similar things on this as well if you look at just even the older image. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that to have some underground aspect to it. But you know, a friend of mine used to actually run Camp 7. And so I'm trying to get him on to talk and just to walk us through, in general, Guantanamo Bay. You know, what are we looking at? What is this? What is that? I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not asking him to tell me stuff that's classified. I'm just saying, you know, yeah, that's a children's playground, or that is Camp 7, you know. That's just, but we'll see. Hopefully I'll get him on here pretty soon. I can start, because then it gives me a better understanding of what I'm looking at, right?
Yeah, you know, the infrastructure, I think, if the amount of money, and you listen to Dr. Greer talk about these programs where they're siphoning off money. It doesn't matter if it's the, you know, Department of Housing, if it's Department of Commerce, all the programs that get funded, they're laundering money through these programs, and they're going to these you know, these black op programs with so much money. It's so staggering. In fact, you listen to Gene talk about the submarine bases. I mean, people would be shocked that, you know, there's submarines parked underground in Missouri coming in from the West Coast. They've got port, you know, underwater ports where and apparently a lot of these things are natural. They've been there forever. They take a submarine and it surfaces in underwater systems, you know, inside the planet, you know, into the middle of the country. When you hear this stuff, you're like, what? Like, what that shows you. And Dr. Greer, you know, he's no piker. This guy was a Mensa Society level intellect. It was a, you know, ER doctor. In fact, I was wondering, how do you start a disclosure project in 1990? He's got 450 high-level people. You're talking former Joint Chiefs chairman, CIA directors, right, people at high levels of government who he's been able to lure out to come forward and say, yeah, this is what's really going on. He's obviously very well protected, but his uncle's Northrop Grumman. So, you know, he didn't just, somebody put him onto that. You don't leave an illustrious career, you know, as a doc like he was and just cost him a fortune. But when he talks about this underground infrastructure, it is truly startling, which just goes to show you, as I talk about how this criminal empire, what they've done to humanity and all the money that they've taken from us, that people have had to work 10 times, I'd say 3 to 4 times harder. So these people could be funding all this infrastructure that's just, you know, cross-country superhighway systems. Now, again, you know, have I seen these with my own eyes? No. We've seen evidence of photographs of these things, of course, because there's always going to be leaks somehow. And I have a friend of mine here in Dallas, outside of Dallas, and he's highly decorated combat vet, Vietnam. Guy's a tunnel rat. I mean, that would scare me more than anything on earth, being a tunnel rat.
For sure.
You know,
right.
But he's a bad dude. He's 70 years old. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to cross the dude. But he was telling me as we were talking, he said that, you know, I wish my brother was still alive. He said he died. He said, but I wish I would have, you know, believed him when he'd tell me that he was a long range trucker. And he said, he told him how he would go into a mountainside in Arkansas and come out in Canada, talked about these massive super highway systems that he, you know, when you come in, they're taking everything off of you. You know, you got your ID and they put you through the works, but you're driving into Canada, coming out of a hillside in Canada. And he said, and we've of course learned this, you know, over the last number of years when we started to get exposure to massive underground cities, like literally cities with that are absolutely beautiful that the cabal has built for their escape when they either have to make a run or they destroy the surface. And, you know, cause these people are what they are. They're Luciferians. They don't care about the planet. So, but he told me, he said, you know, I didn't disbelieve him, but I wish I would have, you know, it would have been now because I would have had more conversations. But he said he'd be driving on these superhighway systems and it would be like these, just a city. Nobody's there. It's like the infrastructure is all there, but lights and everything, but nobody's there. So
right.
these are things that are surreal to try to grasp for society in general. So based on some of the things you've learned over time, are you in lockstep with these things I'm sharing with you, or you're like, I don't know if I believe that?
No. So I actually had followed some of that information and that intel probably a good 7-8 years ago, you know, where there were actually guys that were coming out of a mountainside, truckers, and somebody would walk up with a cell phone and say, hey, you know, you're coming out. And these were in the Azores, right? And they'd say, hey, can you tell me what's in there? Like, how far does that go? And the guy would say, hey, oh, this road right here, it goes coast to coast, man. I can go all the way to California from here. That's in the Azores. So there's an underground, definitely an underground highway system that has been in place for a long time. That's why I was saying that capability, they can cut those giant machine, that machinery that they have nowadays can cut that rock and burrow miles in a week. It's insane that what this thing can do. And what's crazy is there's not a lot of work that has to be done around it. After it cuts, it's basically, you know, you don't have to come in and build all this infrastructure to keep it from collapsing. These guys it makes these cuts that are just almost perfect. And it's incredible. It's the same way, you know, like when they did the channel, right, between France and England, right? They went underneath the English Channel and, you know, they met directly. And this was, how old is that? Right. And technology has gotten better. And so, but they met exactly directly, at 2 points. They intersected at 2 points and it took them no time at all to cut that stuff. So, but today it's incredible that the stuff that they can do. So, I mean, I've seen that the truckers come out and make those comments. So I'm without a doubt that exists. Well, no doubt in my mind.
I've seen that in some of my videos in the past that I make, you know, from this recording, from the show. I've put pictures in there of, you know, people know what Project Ice Worm is. Now you look at this, you're talking about a U.S. Air Force piece of equipment, and this thing's literally 10 stories high. And it's like, you know what it is, folks that don't know. This is a 10-story high cylinder. Imagine a cylinder that's laying on its side and it's 10 stories. In the front of it is this massive, like hundreds of these spinning, turning augers. And then the whole thing is turning, you know, inside the cylinder, and then all these little mini augers just chewing up rock, just eating its way right through the planet. And when you see the personnel standing beside this thing, you're like, holy Mary, mother of God, what did it take to build that thing? And,
and how long?
Yeah. How long to build it? But this thing really will do miles a day. And, it truly is incredible. And when you listen to Dr. Gree, I've been directing people for a little while to go onto YouTube, and it's 3 hours and 50 minutes. And that was what opened the door for me. I stumbled on it because, again, understanding the cabal and what I've, you know, from the aerial view I've had on the political, you know, imaginations of the planet for a long time, I come across Dr. Stephen Greer, How the Shadow Government Works. It's 3 hours and 50 minutes. And I don't know why I'd even start something that long, but I did one night. I was up throughout the night till 4 in the morning. I couldn't stop. I'm like, holy cow. But he talks about, as he's a very sharp guy, and he's easy to listen to, and he's providing all this documentation of all these programs that have been spirited out of government agencies. Like, he's got documents signed by JFK, been handed to him, and now they're in different vaults around the world. He's got, you know, he's got his own, dead man's switch, you know, that he's well protected. But, you know, anybody, something happens to him, these documents go everywhere public. But he said that the technologies that they have, that they can literally, I couldn't envision how it worked, but it's basically using this, it's certainly a pulse scalar weapon, and it'll crystallize. It'll crystallize rock, like just instantly crystallize it. And so, and I forget how, if the rock is removed or whatever, it's crystallized, but when it's, I don't think it disintegrates. I can't remember it, but all I remember is what you see moving through this tunnel system, the entire internal oval of all of it is perfectly smooth, like it's been polished. And when he talks about that stuff, you're like, this is Star Wars stuff that you can't even get your head around.
Well, you can imagine if they can do a couple miles in a week, and this has been going on for years. You know, it's a pretty intricate system underneath us, and that's what I don't think many people can, you know, really fathom that, because it's just hard to get your head around it. You know, just like that ice worm thing. Somebody just told me about that a week and a half ago or so. I didn't know anything about it. And it's up in Greenland, right? It's an Air Force base that was set up for, I guess, during the Cold War era. But it's incredible. And I've heard that is also being used for a prison location. But I don't know, because just watching the aircraft go to Iceland, I don't know why. I mean, Greenland's right there. If that was a prison location, I would think that the aircraft would just, you know, boogie on over to Greenland.
Well, there's something about Greenland. And I know, you know, the thing about this operation is Trump has always dropped, you know, little bombs here and there. And remember when he was talking about maybe we might buy Greenland, because I think, inside the planet of Greenland might have been a cabal stronghold. But I think I had heard not too long ago, they were talking about, that's where they took a certain witch and they put her on ice for a little while before they woke her up and, you know, and wrapped a rope around her. But that it was apparently going to be, you know, at whatever base is at Greenland. So there's just this crazy shit that we are going to have to come to grips with and say, how could this possibly have been so compartmentalized that humanity never knew? In fact, when I was learning about these programs that Dr. Stephen Greer was talking about, if you listen, by the way, if you go to YouTube, folks, just go find it. Dr. Stephen Greer, G-R-E-E-R, and how the shadow government works. And I've been telling folks for the last couple of weeks about this, and now people are going to see it. And they're all coming back with the same thing, like, holy freaking crap, are you kidding me? But he talks about, there's a point I was going to make about that, the documents. Oh, here he is. And that's what opened the door for me before I went down a rabbit hole, the secret space programs and those military whistleblowers. I actually got a chance to meet some of these people and talk to them face to face after I learned everything that I could learn on what they did, you know, in cosmic disclosure. Right. But Greer talks about the transportation system that they've got these I don't know if they call them their magnetic tubes or whatever, that'll, you know, shift, basically send the trains, high tech futuristic trains from coast to coast in 20 minutes, like a vacuum magnetized tunnel, like zip. Yeah. 20 minutes later, you're out of California, you're in New York. I mean, just get your head around that. But he said
I don't know how the human body can hold that, but yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know either. He said must be a slow start, you know, to get you up to speed or something. I don't know. But he said,
Probably, but you probably can't even tell you're moving that fast over time, you know, but it's, I mean, you think about the shuttle, the space shuttle or space station, you know, or something orbiting the Earth is going in excess of 17,000 miles an hour. So you would think that they would, you know, feel that would have an effect on the body. But it doesn't. They say you're in a constant free fall feel is what it is.
Really?
So you feel like that's what I've been told. So, but it, I guess the same theory. Well, magnetics is incredible when you think about it, and the stuff that they're probably doing that we don't know about is probably mind bending, right? I mean, I've heard a couple things along that line. You know, coming from a guy that worked, you know, with a major defense contractor for 18 years and on black programs, I've seen some things that have been, you know, very cool. But I've also heard things that were even cooler than the stuff I was doing. But for example, and this is all open source, I'm not disclosing anything by any means, but hypersonic missiles for submarines. And I thought, how can you move something that fast underwater? What happens is they actually, when the missile comes out of the tube, there's a bubble that encases the missile. And so, and because it's in a bubble, it has no resistance and it can move at hypersonic speeds underwater, which is, get your head around that one, right? And then the other one that blew my mind was there's a guy, and he's passed away now, but he used to work for Skunk Works, and he talks about space programs, and he said that they are doing things now with a technique that's called thought propulsion. And now, basically, that's like you think about it and you're there. And so get your head around that one, you know. And so, you know, I've heard of all kinds of different types of propulsion, right? Pulse technology and things like that, where you can, you know, get some pretty crazy speeds out of aircraft that are, it's completely silent. And there's a lot of that stuff exists, and that, you know, we're testing it, and we're some things that we're flying that, you know, people just don't know about. And that's, of course, China Lake, Area 51. So, but, you know, I'm with you. I think this is getting ready to be the things that are going to come out, I think, is it's beyond the whole humanity side of sex trafficking and drug trafficking and the cabal side. There's a layer of technology that I think we have achieved and that we've gotten our hands on over time that people don't realize we have, and that, you know, that's going to probably also come out and open a lot of eyes. So
I think no doubt. And I've talked about, you know, Nisara is a subject that some people will touch, some won't. I've done extensive research on it and I couldn't come across it. I mean, I don't even know how I stumbled across it, probably 2 years ago, maybe two and a half. And then when I started to dig into it, of course, when I talk about it, people just instantly turn away from it. And that's okay, because I'm just an ignition point to, you know, open a door to what somebody may come across later on and say, hey, I heard about that and I'm okay with that. And I saw it disappear for like maybe 6 to 8 months. All of a sudden it got scrubbed. You couldn't find it anywhere. But when you look at, and I believe based on what I see and what I understand with Nisara and the history of all of it, I believe that Trump very possibly has already instituted the commencement of it, rolling it out slowly. In fact, here's just a case in point, because I talked about it. You know, when there's Charlie Ward, and he mentioned it briefly, but they're talking about the Great Reset and the Great Awakening. They're two plans to do the same thing, reset the whole planet, you know, the whole monetary system. Well, the cabal has theirs too, because theirs is built to always drop and destroy, you know, the wealth where they confiscate it, and just like the economic cycles. Well, that's how they get out of meeting the Reaper, which is the people. And they figure it out. They have a war. They have some catastrophic event. They blame it on that. But so their whole global reset was to probably take us down to, you know, maybe a digital currency or whatever. But there's a Great Awakening where, you know, the Great Awakening brings people out of their slumber. And then, you know, they're basically destroying the whole Rothschild global central banker criminal empire, which is built on nothing. And then, you know, moving into, with Nisara, the new gold-backed currencies. Now, a close contact, in fact, he's a close friend of mine. He was at my wedding. And he's talking directly with generals at NSA, because, you know, there's a project in the film industry. It's a very large project that's being funded by one of these large humanitarian funds, and he had to be vetted by DOD and NSA, because they need the right content through the right machine of media production pumped out throughout the world. You know, good stories like faith-based films, Rudy, Blindside, Christian films, and all that, cartoons for kids. So he's talking to these guys at NSA, and they've said the same. He said they found him through it's mutual contact of both ours, more of a friend of his. He's more of a contact of mine who frequented my wellness center in Summerlin there. But he said they talk about the Garden of Eden. That's what's coming. And they're obviously alliance generals. They're not inside, you know, Team 17, because there's less than 10 of those people. But these are alliance generals. And he said that they're describing a Garden of Eden. And he has actually seen with his own eyes the new currency. And there's been three different versions he's seen over time, and they're narrowing it down to what it looks like. A couple things he did say was, like, he doesn't really care for them because they're very colorful, because we're used to greenbacks. But he also said that the people that are going, like, you're not going to see presidents on them like before, because there are monuments to the presidents, you know, around the country. But one of the presidents are going to be on it, obviously, is JFK on the final version, he said. In version three, he saw Eleanor Roosevelt, which surprised me. I said, I thought, you know, you're talking, FDR was a socialist. He said, well, you know, that might have been him, but she was a humanitarian. And I found a great one. Yeah, found a great one was, and I'm sure they have really good reasons that we'll learn about, because most of the history is a lie that they taught us on virtually everything. But yeah, sure. I found Tesla. I mean, Nikola Tesla, the true hero, genius inventor. And, you know, it's one of the things, somebody made a point about this, and I'm just looking at my clock because we've got like 4 minutes left, less than four. Tesla, you know, when you're talking about free energy, you're talking about magnetism. Electricity, which is what we operate on now, electricity is a downward moving quantum, quantum structure. I guess it's always because over long distances, electricity is dropping off and it goes to zero. But magnetism is that infinity figure eight, rise and fall, never goes. It's just constant. And that's where Tesla's all his research was in magnetism. But you can't get a degree anywhere on any and in any university anywhere on the planet in magnetism. Why they destroy right. Tesla, right? I mean, all these mysteries that we're going to learn about. And what I focus on when I talk about people or talk to people about what's coming when they bring the cabal down, it's these technologies, the 6,000 patents that have been classified under national security directives that we've never had access to, which is anti-gravitics, which we know exists now. Sonic healing technologies, which I heard from the secret space programs, that sound waves can cause the body to heal itself of everything. Replicators, anti-gravitics, sonic waves, and what's the other one? Yeah, free energy, basically. So there's this world of wonder. That is coming. I firmly believe it because I believe it in my being, based on the geopolitical shift of the planet, the human consciousness. I absolutely know is rising collectively, and we see this battle and this epic battle. So, anyways, I think, and I say this all the time, and I believe this to my core, we have an unbelievable future coming for humanity, an unbelievable. It's going to be our rightful place. I'll let you have the last 30 seconds here, my friend. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree with you. I think things are definitely on the shift. I think we're about to see we are on the cusp of something historical taking place, and how this whole thing shakes loose is going to be anybody's guess. But I'm good with it either way it goes.
Well, I see you're looking to have the upper hand in the evolution of understanding because, folks, he is also in seminary. This guy's – he wears a cape, but he doesn't do it out in public. He's doing all kinds of amazing stuff.
Thanks, man. I'm knee-deep in seminary, so I'm excited. I'm learning a lot about the Word, and it helps me really kind of apply a lot of what I see happening around us. So,
and do you have this do you have this intrinsic feeling that, from in a quantum realm now that you're studying that and seeing everything happen together here? What kind of experience is that from a standpoint of absolution and what you see and think and feel?
Well, what I'm seeing is that God is a sovereign God, that his will take place, whether, it overrides man's will. And so
I hate to cut you off there, folks. But it looks like the music that's been out, Monkey. Sorry, we'll come back for next week. 8:10. Stop taking this point. We'll have Monkey. And thanks for tonight.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.